Okay, thank you. Well, officially good morning or good whatever it is for you, ladies and gentlemen. The agenda that Rob circulated starts off with an update on the working group survey. Rob, can you take that one?
Thank you, Dave. Yeah, can I ask Gisela for the record just to indicate who is on the call before I do that?
Absolutely. Good morning, good afternoon to everyone on today's Geographic Regions Call, Monday the 15th of February. We have David Archibald, Paul Wilson, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Fard Bataine. From staff, we have Rob Hogarth, Bart Boswinkel, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. And we have apologies from Olga Cavalli and Yanis Karkland. If I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking. Thank you.
Thanks, Gisela. Yes, Dave, I'll start off with an update on the working group survey. Thank you all for taking a final review of the document a week or so ago. Much appreciated, and appreciate members paying some attention to that, given that we are moving forward on the drafting of the interim report. The document is in the ICANN translation system. The plan is that when that document does come back, I'll be re-coordinating with our partners at Big Pulse Surveys and work with them on their distribution models. What we continue to look in, and I'm very excited about potentials, is Cheryl's original idea about giving us the capability to link to surveys via a number of communications mechanisms, including Twitter, just direct links that we put posts on our wiki, and then other inventive mechanisms that you all choose to use for your own individual supporting organizations or advisory committees. One of the things that I'll be looking to all of you for guidance on is the timing issue. For example, how long you want the survey to be posted and available. As I've confessed in the past, I have not, as a staffer, been involved in a broad array of survey instruments, just one or two in my time at ICANN. So you're all feedback in terms of how long you think something should be out, what time period we give people to respond, and then ultimately how you all want to analyze and incorporate the results into the report will all be very useful direction and feedback on this effort. I don't know if anybody has any comments other than, you know, I would note that as soon as I do get the documents back, I will let all of you know that they are available because I'll want to make the individual documents in soft copy available to all of you for circulation. And then it's just really what this group wants to decide in terms of a plan, again, in terms of circulation timing and then collecting the results. Thank you.
Rob, Cheryl here.
Greetings, Cheryl.
Hi. Probably not a question that you can answer with great accuracy, but is there sort of a benchmark time as to when you think the documents will be available? Having all of my people gathered together, of course. You know, we do have a meeting number 37 where we could make some mileage out of this.
Definitely. I am hopeful that we will have the documents, certainly most of the translations, by the middle of next week. You know, part of the challenge that we're facing is I did get it in almost a week before the Nairobi document deadline. So we're ahead of that wave of document submissions.
Well done.
But, you know, sometimes, and this is something I think the translation team still struggles with, some of the languages, the availability of translators at times is not as commodious as other times. And so what I would expect is maybe typical is we may end up with four of the languages available and two not. And what I've tended to err on the side of caution in the past is not rolling something out until all the languages are available, not only because of the optics, but just because of the, you know, the challenge of, you know, just petering things out bits by bit. So my sense is the best approach may be to wait for all the languages to be done, but but I will provide you all with an update at the end of this week in terms of what the status of the feedback is.
Okay.
But I think in that time frame, I think we're still ahead of the beginning of the Nairobi meeting schedule.
Excellent. Again, being absolutely, totally selfish from an at-large advisory committee point of view, our working languages are English, French and Spanish, and our next preference is Portuguese. So we sort of have a hierarchical order where sheer number of the ALS priority languages can be quite clearly identified. So, we can give you a sliding scale of shuffling which one to the top, if that helps.
That's great. I mean, and if you all think it makes sense, I mean, if we have the French and Spanish, and those typically come through faster, and we want to go ahead and get those circulated,
we could go live with English, French and Spanish, and if we can get Portuguese off after that, be delighted, and the others can follow.
Okay. That's something I'll check with.
This is not a for public comment. You know, this is not an ICANN public comments document.
Correct.
So, I seem a little bit duplicitous, I suppose, but recognising the major working languages, I'd like to see it get some penetration and perhaps have something feedback-wise by the time we get together in Nairobi.
I will confess I did have a blind spot on the Portuguese, and I had requested the 6 UN languages that did not include Portuguese, so I will renew my request with translation so that they add that to the mix as well.
We've got more Latin American and Caribbean at-large structures who speak Portuguese than we do than speak Spanish.
I will definitely submit that expanded request. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry about hijacking it there. In fact, you know I'm not at all sorry, but it sounds good on the transcript.
Okay, back to the agenda and may Dave Archibald. I'm going to propose that we skip the next two items for a moment and try and look at some of the organisational issues, and then the remainder of the discussion can go back to the report. So I'm looking at both the working group timetable and the benchmark changes if we need them, and the Nairobi meeting schedule, and I'd like to get these two out of the way a little bit. Can we, in fact, jump to the Nairobi meeting schedule? Because, in fact, Rob is not going to be there, and, in fact, neither am I. I'm going to be tied up, so cannot get away from here because of court proceedings, though I will hopefully be able to remotely participate. Rob, can you remind us what you have booked so far?
Yes, as anticipating that the working group has met in the past at ICANN meetings and would perhaps like to do so during the Nairobi meeting, I did make sure that we got in a request to the meetings team alerting them that the working group would be holding a meeting. I tentatively blocked off 4 p.m. on Thursday afternoon just as a placeholder with the anticipation that you all would then speak and decide whether that might work for you. And if it didn't, then I would, change it. But we're tentatively slated for the afternoon of Thursday in Nairobi at the conference center. Again,
Cheryl
I'm
here again. Sorry,
happy to change.
Yes, Cheryl.
Am I crazy, or is that going to clash then with the recently distributed time for the CCNSO IDN Fast? IDN PDP Workgroup 1, and that date that they've chosen for, notice they, because I didn't want the date, they've chosen for the Thursday wasn't one of the two choices we were polled on anyway.
Yeah. We did say Thursday is... sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes,
hello?
Yes, Bart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Bart, we can hear.
Yeah, Thursday at 4 p.m. and just before, just after is, or just before is the delegation working group as well. So that's going to be Thursday afternoon. It's back with CC meetings, I know.
And since that time that I got in the request, in the block schedule that Nick Ashton Hart circulated just a little bit ago, also notes that the forum on DNS abuse has now been scheduled at 4 p.m. on Thursday as well. So sounds like that time will need to change.
It's going to be like a dog's breakfast again.
Yeah. Paul, well, you'll be in Nairobi. Paul?
Yeah, sorry, Bart. I'm afraid I won't be in Nairobi, no.
Oh, so it's, and there is, I think, 8 hours or 7 hours time difference, isn't there, between you and Nairobi?
So an afternoon meeting won't be so great for me, but I'll try and dial in if I can.
Yeah. So I was thinking that we have one difficulty is that the venue itself will close at, as far as I know, at 6 p.m. So either if we're going to do it, maybe we could do it, say, at one of the venue hotels and see if we can get dial in or very early in the morning on Thursday. But that's difficult for Dave and Rob.
Well, any early day you also have to consider is that the conference center doesn't open until 8 a.m. So if you go very early in the morning, then you're also looking at potentially one of the hotels.
Yeah, and we have a problem with dial-in facilities there, don't we?
Yeah. What may be helpful is, you know, I can get out a quick email after this call. We could do just a quick poll to see how many members of the working group will be in Nairobi. That may be a way to resolve this.
Rob, yeah. Perhaps we could actually ask online of the people speaking on the conference how many are going to be in Nairobi. Cheryl, obviously you are.
Yes, to my knowledge,
who else
Carlton
will be there?
Also is. Carlton will be there, and I'm going to be there.
Carlton's joining shortly. Sorry, excuse me. We're dialing out
thank
to
you
now.
Yeah, hi everybody, this is Fad. I won't be at the Nairobi meeting.
Fad, just to clarify that, was did you say will not?
Yeah, I will not be at the Nairobi meeting.
Okay.
Dave, Cheryl here. It seems to me like the majority of the work group is not going to be at Nairobi. And I suspect Giannis might be of a very similar mind that he has been when we've had discussions amongst the AC and SO chairs that things that are of particular interest to the GAC, such as DNS abuse, were to be put in what was identified as unconflicted time. Thursday afternoon was such a block of unconflicted time, and it seems to me that some of us are going to be a little eyebrows raised and wondering why we're getting all of the meetings popping in unconflicted time that are going to compete with the same people. So I don't know whether you want to do something that's more humane for people who aren't at Nairobi and have just an ordinary telephone hook up from wherever we are in our own hotels or wherever.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, and we can use try to, if we have a document or anything else, use Adobe Connect to
yeah
look at documents.
Just share on that workspace.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's going to have to be it. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's leave that at the moment, but it certainly looks as if we can give up the 4 p.m. Thursday slot.
Yeah. And I think, Cheryl, your idea of hooking up on phone is a very good one. And then we can do it at whatever time is most convenient for everybody.
Well, yeah, I mean, where most of us will be still going fairly late, even though it won't be in the conference venue. So I'm sure, you know, two or three of us will be gathering around some desk phone somewhere.
Yeah.
We'll all gather around someone's iPod.
Good morning, everybody. Sorry to be late. I forgot I had a need of the dialogue.
Hi, Carlson.
Okay.
Just don't forget you've got a meeting in 3 more hours' time.
Yes.
Okay, so that looks like all we can say about Nairobi for the moment. Can we go, I'm going all over the place, can we go back up one on the agenda and talk about timetable and benchmark changes? If you will recall, we were anticipating publishing the interim report prior to ICANN 37, i.e. in February 2010. And that was already extended from October 2009. Now, I don't think we are in a position so to do. We don't seem to have moved that much further along since our last get-together in Seoul, which is disappointing, but everybody's busy, and that's a fact of life. We were then leaving 45 days for public comment on the interim report, with publishing the final report in time for the June meeting. I'm personally still hopeful that we might get the final report to the June meeting, but I don't think we can get the interim report for Nairobi. I would be grateful for comments and thoughts.
I think I agree. This is Carlton. I agree with you, Dave. It's going to be tight to get it out for Nairobi. That is by the 4th of March. But I think we could get it out very shortly thereafter, following week. So we should be able to meet the final comment period and get in time for the June meeting at Brussels.
Anyone else? Rob, do you feel that's workable?
My immediate reaction to that is that is a fairly aggressive timetable. It would require some significant additional drafting from where you are right now, but it is certainly doable. I think the only thing that you would be changing, and again, I don't know, my sense is, and Dave, I don't know whether you're having conversations with board members. This is not something the board is, you know, focusing and really trying to pressure you all to put something together. My sense is that your original sort of cycle of work was going to focus on the various international meetings to allow opportunities for dialogue informally during the hallway conversations and otherwise in community meetings. And so I don't think that you should unnecessarily tie yourself to the Brussels meeting, and you could even consider a timetable that looks at releasing the interim report intersessionally between Nairobi and Brussels, allowing for some dialogue, for some further working group discussion just up prior to and through Brussels, and then producing your final report intersessionally between Brussels and the Latin America meeting, where you could then again have some robust community dialogue, if not a final board decision during the Latin America meeting. So I don't know that you have to tie yourself specifically to rushing something out. I guess it's really a sense, Dave, in your role as the primary drafter to date, whether you think that the expectation of getting something together very quickly after Nairobi is a realistic one. I'm just trying to be sensitive because I know you guys have all been extremely busy, and this has not been the first priority. And so it's just a matter of trying to realistically assess when you think things can get accomplished.
I understand the realism, but I'm also very conscious of the fact, despite the board may not be pushing, if you like, I am pushing. from the point of view that there was supposedly a review of regions carried out in 2006, it still hasn't happened because it was suspended, if you like, pending this working group. So ICANN is, if you like, missing two reviews, the 2006 and the 2009 review that it is required to do by its own bylaws. So I must admit that I'm conscious of that in the background, whether the board is or not. So I am trying to push it to get it out as early as we reasonably can.
We will, as staff, we will support whatever timetable you all agree to.
that's an out.
Dave Sherrill here. There's a huge benefit in this particular type of discussion. First of all, having got opportunity for results of a survey back before we delve into the next level of interim reporting. So the opportunity to run something intersessionally that comes out in a timely manner after the Nairobi meeting, and that can be out for public comment between Nairobi and Brussels, makes a great deal of sense to me. I think having picked up from my community, the interest, and remember, ALAC is with its regional balance, is the most defined geographic regions space in ICANN. So we've got the most likely change that's going to affect us, and there's going to be some very, very significant effects in terms of our ability to function from a budgetary point of view if any increase in regions in your thoughts document where you say go from 5 to 6, that puts serious dollar differences on our budget. So there's a huge amount for us to talk about. And they're the sorts of conversations that we're better off having with COOs, CFOs, and the whole of our community leadership in a room, which means at the Brussels meeting, before it goes into a final report.
Yeah, well, my thoughts genuinely were just thoughts. It was to give a stimulus, if you like, more than anything else. Nothing cast in stone, I promise you. Take your point, sir.
But looking
any other
at timelines,
comments?
I think, we can compress, we can compress some work between the two next meetings, but I think giving the communities opportunities to make face-to-face discussions is a most productive way forward.
Yeah. Any other comment?
No.
Okay. So, sorry, Bart.
Yeah, I think we as this group, if you look more into the interim report, I think that the time frame for moving forward, we have to move to the next meeting. I think this working group hasn't touched upon how it wants to propose restructuring and everything else. Cheryl just touched upon it, and I think it will take one or two more in-depth discussions by this group before we can send out anything to to the community. So that that means, having the results in and having a more in-depth discussion by this group. So you're really talking about, sending out the interim report by Brussels, because that's only 2.5 months after the Nairobi meeting.
It is, I suppose,
Or 3 months, and giving, and you need to do it, otherwise, it will not be, a working group document.
Yeah. Okay.
You'd need that out. So, you'd need that out, literally out in the public by the beginning of June.
Yeah. So that means
so we,
that
we,
even,
We're talking final draft by the end of May. That's not a huge amount of time.
No.
April, May.
Yeah. So that is just to meet, say, the proposed timeline of having a interim report out by the Brussels meeting.
Yeah.
And then you hit the holiday season again.
Yeah.
So in the pragmatics of it, I think if we would aim at say the Latin America meeting to have a final report out, it will make everybody's life more bearable, and maybe we have try to use the face or the phone call in Nairobi as a first in-depth discussion on where we want to head with the interim report.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go along with that. Rob, can you make the necessary adjustments to the timetable, please?
Dave, this is Carlton. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What is the sense of members of what else we need to have in this document for the interim report? What is the sense?
Some recommendations? Change? Don't change? Make it 17 groups? Make it 7? Make it 5? Take it down to 3? Pick a number between 1 and infinity?
okay.
No, because
to me that was... I would have... That's good, Cheryl, because I would have thought that what we would do is to put up the straw man and not make recommendations until after we've posted the interim report for public comment.
That
was my thinking.
Yeah.
I'm just asking because I would have, to my mind, what probably would work is that we put up all of these issues as straw men, and we not make any recommendation. We do not have a recommendation portion until we've put it out for public comment. Is that something that we could work with?
Chairman's privilege. I get next say. Sorry, Cheryl. The way we laid it out initially was that the interim report would not come up with any conclusions, straw men or otherwise. Sure. It was to look at the next stage. Right? So it was to look at the uses of... Are we meeting the objective, or are geographical regions meeting or doing what the various bits of the organization require them to do, or are they not? Where are the problems without looking at the solutions? We've defined the uses, the functions, etc. We're now supposed to be looking at, is it working?
Okay.
That's what we're supposed to be doing. And then the last one is supposed to be the solutions. That assumes that it's not working in some areas.
Well, hang on. I think in the interim, Dave, in the interim one, you'd need to identify if there is a need for change and a measure of how things are working.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. We're identifying whether it is working for the various organizations within ICANN or if it's not. If it is working, there's no need for a solution. The solution is status quo.
And to my mind, is like Cheryl says, the only SO that seems to be closely coupled, work is closely coupled to the idea of geographic regions in that, and is the ELAC.
CCNSO is
dreadfully
coupled as well.
And CCNSO. Yeah. Somewhat loose. If you look at the CCNSO structure, it's probably a little less exacting than ELAC, Cheryl, wouldn't you say?
Well, no, you see, this is where the whole thing comes from in the beginning, because of the bizarre mismatch of where some countries belong in the way it's carved up. I mean, going back to Dave's original, outline documents that we all started with. and you know, in the CCNSO space, in that SO, some stuff's broken and it needs fixing. So then we need to look at other parts of ICANN as well.
Yeah.
That's my take on it. Tell, you know.
Yeah, that, I mean, it actually goes further than that, and but I don't want to anticipate what we put in the report. I mean, what I would be interested in, what I think we need, is the more detailed feedback that you can give us on ALAC. And is it working for you? Is it not working for you? What are your problems? What would the impact be? And that's something I can't do, and Bart can't do. It's got to come from you guys.
We don't have a problem with our geographic diversity and being in five regions, because that's how we've been created. We've been reviewed. The reviews themselves indicate no issue with that. And in our view, it makes us the most genuinely global representative part of ICANN. If you want something that is 100% balanced globally, we have a structure that does that.
Okay.
If you change the geographic regions, all that does is change the numbers of structures we call RALOs.
Right.
It doesn't,
right.
It doesn't have the same impact as it does in the CCNSO. But what it does have is if you increase regions from 5 to 6 in costs now per ICANN face-to-face meeting, for every region, you have to allow between, 3,000, because we're all sponsored, they're all sponsored people. That's
3 or 4 other
people. That's $15,000 extra budget per region.
Yeah.
Just for the face-to-face meeting.
Right.
So if you make it, if you make it from 5 to 6, then if you've got 2 ICANN meetings, an extra 30 in the budget. If it's 3 ICANN meetings, it's an extra 45. If you make it 7, it's a simple maths situation, which is, you know, makes no difference on how effective we are, because the large regions have found ways of dealing with their geographic diversity. So from the Asia-Pacific perspective, we have got a balance. We actually have in our memorandum within the region, we have to have geographic balance within our regional leadership. So one of the vice chairs is from Oceania. Sorry, the chair happens to be from Oceania. So one of the vice chairs is from the Arab states, and the other vice chair is from the Pacific Islands. So we've structured stuff to work with what we've got to work with. But make it 7, 6 or 17, we just will structure it to work with it.
Yeah.
But we have clear X number of regions results in X times Y number of ALAC members. And that just has a pure math outcome on budget.
Right, okay. For the sake of discussion, I mean, if we as a group, and this is a hypothetical, come up with a conclusion that the 5 present regions do not reasonably represent the present diversity of the internet, or whatever the wording is, and therefore the fact that ALAC is following along with those 5 regions, does that not also mean that ALAC is not following the diversity of the internet?
No, I'd argue the exact opposite. We, in fact, have a disproportionately high voice of the unconnected countries of the world in the at-large community voice we bring to ICANN, which is exactly how it should be.
Fine, and how does that work?
It works by having the same number of at-large structures coming out of Africa as are in Europe. And there's a whole lot more internet users in Europe than there is in Africa.
Yeah, sure.
So our voice, our discussion, our contribution as public into policy development and ICANN process. In other words, doing what we are here for is perfectly representative of global geography, whether you splice it into seven or five or three.
The only blip on the map where that is concerned, though, would be, say, when you consider Asia and places like China, where the growth is coming on strong, and we don't have any representative, or very little representative from China. That's the only other issue for us, and that's probably more political.
We've got two at-large structures. We've got two at-large structures in mainland China and two in Taiwan.
Yeah, but in terms of the numbers,
both of those in mainland China are national peak bodies, and dealing with the politics of China, listening to a national peak body is, finding a better way of doing it.
That's the point I want to make. That you have
Where we have a deficit. Where we have a deficit, but then that's a regional issue to fix, is we need more members, more at-large structures in all the stands. I tell the NOMCOM, find me NOMCOM members from a stand. Thank you very much. That's where I would like to see my nominating committee member out of Asia coming from. In the space, I don't have at-large structures filling up my ALAC in the other way. So that's where I'm saying, Dave, that the regions themselves within the at-large community work with whatever model we're given. We'll find a way to make sure we're globally representative.
Yeah. Okay. So where do we go from here? Rob, Bart and I did have some discussions end of last week. And one of our thoughts was for the interim report to try and go down through each of the organizations and look at are geographic regions working for them or not. Is that the only criteria that is being used? I mean, an example there, I looked at the board, and although originally the geographic regions were almost the only diversity requirement that was mentioned, and it was a pretty tight restriction, over time that has changed, particularly after the 2002 revision to the bylaws, which brought in the ICANN goals. I'm sorry, I can't remember the right name, but you know what I mean. And that expanded the diversity requirements such that geographic diversity was only one of the criteria.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a bit lacking in gender, isn't it?
Yeah. Indeed. But I noticed that the GNSO has brought gender quite clearly in their criteria.
Yeah.
Many of our regions in the ALAC have gender in their criteria, but we also strive for gender balance as an aim, but not an overriding principle, because we actually prefer to have talent than a particular gender.
Right.
Yes, don't get me started on token feminism.
Rob, I thought we're going to have a go at looking at some of this at the end of last week, were you not?
That's correct, Dave. One of my assignments was to go into some of the 25 areas of recommendations or concerns that were expressed in the initial report and just take a crack at maybe two or three of them to try to find a way to express them reflect them with a mind toward if that sort of system works, that that's how we would approach the various 25 that you all listed in the original report. And I'm still experimenting and working on that. The plan was to share that with you, Dave. I'm more than happy to share that with the broader group just to get some reactions when I complete that over the next day or two.
Okay. Okay. I think that will be useful. I feel we've a little bit lost our way on how we're going to present this, and I think the only way to do that is to have some trial and error. Circulate them round and get viewpoints of from everybody, because there are quite definitely different ways of presenting this, and I know I'm finding I start going one way and then find cross links another way. So I think some trial and error that everybody looks at and expresses their views would help us and allow us to go on a little bit quicker.
Cheryl, on that.
Anybody? Yeah.
Cheryl, on that note, could you just summarize, say, in bullet points to this group, what you think is the impact of changing the numbers just pure the impact of changing the numbers of regions?
Oh, well, the most obvious one from an at-large advisory committee point of view is under our particular structure, we have two regional and one nominating committee appointed to the at-large advisory committee for every geographic region used in ICANN.
Yeah.
So it makes I immediately move from a 3x5 to a 3x model. Mm. And every time you increase 5 plus any amount, there are budget ramifications in that.
Yeah. And
in terms of what it does to our global, our role and how we operate, because we've got, for example, Asia Pacific, which is such a huge geographic region, the region itself has come up with mechanisms to meet its diversity needs.
Yeah, that's what I understand. No, but it's what you just pointed out, say, just the pure math impact of changing the number of regions. Is that somewhere publicly available?
Certainly we can do now because the cost, in fact, I'm only using, you know, very rough figures.
Yeah.
I could give you exact figures and a couple of estimates by working with the CFO. And, you know, if we split Asia Pacific hypothetically into two or three or some other sets of hypothetical models, we can do the math without any problem at all.
No, I think that is, say, going back to Dave's question, that is again another view of, say, not what is the ramification of whatever recommendation there is, maybe not at this stage of the process, but later on it's going to be very interesting. So if you recall what we discussed in Seoul, is you need to have an impact analysis on what we're doing or what this working group is doing anyway.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I didn't really want to sort of bring up those somewhat by bringing them up, they tend to become limiting factors in our free, frank, and full discussions. I think it was a little early to you know, that's why I actually picked a fairly average cost at, you know, X dollars per person on average for an ICANN face-to-face meeting. As soon as I bring someone in from Alaska and someone in from New Zealand and someone in from, you know, Northern Europe, and the meeting happens to be in Los Angeles, I've immediately changed those costs hugely.
Yeah, I know. But you want some, say, more an average or an idea of what the impact of some of the changes will be.
The idea is that you're going to have some delta change in the cost.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've used the very, very averaged out ones.
That means
an additional $15,000 US dollars per face-to-face meeting for every additional region.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, that's a fair number. Yeah, we can use that, say, it's just to keep it in the back of our mind, say, whatever
sure.
comes up is, and, it, and it probably has the same impact on some of the other, or for the CCNSO as well.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that that's a good thing or a bad thing, or whether that money will spend or
not. But it's to assess what say, for this working group to assess what the impact is
of
some of
yes.
its recommendations.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that is probably what has been lacking in the past of some other working groups.
I couldn't agree with you more, Bart. Now, the other thing is, too, Bart, which is what I'd like to allow us, now we've sort of agreed to stretch the timetable, I think it will allow us to explore some of this in an analysis mode between the interim and public feedback of that and the final, because that's where, you know, some serious hypotheticals have to be put up for people to consider.
Yeah. No, I agree. And that is more or less what we discussed in Seoul as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because one of the advantages of cleaving into smaller regions is that, you know, you couldn't say, from a, for example, the global partnerships perspective, that popping over to Egypt once or twice means you've properly engaged with Africa.
Yes. You're talking about the ICAM global partners?
Yes, I am.
No, they don't have that issue.
I know.
Again.
I was being very hypothetical.
Yeah,
but you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay, people, so what have we concluded here? That there are several possible different ways of taking this forward, that we are going to try to put up, if you like, some straw men for the way we go ahead. Rob hopes to have one attempt at that within the next few days that we could circulate. I will try and do something as well, though I can't promise that's just going to be the next few days. And if we circulate those, please can we have some feedback? I've got to say, feedback after Seoul was a little bit disappointing, people. But perhaps that was because you weren't sure where we were going.
I will be happy to circulate that to the group, Dave.
Yeah, thanks. I think we need to... Can we get in another telephone conference before... Oh, no, I suppose the next one's going to be actually at Nairobi, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
The time being what it is. It's not really practical before then, is it?
No.
Not really.
It is not going to be very...
No. So we are going to have to try and sort something out. I think during Nairobi for a telephone conference somehow, somewhere.
From my perspective, Dave, know that we agreed, we have consensus of where we are going with this thing. Probably if we look at the comments that we made from Cheryl about the ALAC perspective, which is, I think, is impatient of debate. We could then try to generate similar perspectives from the CCNSO side, because those are the two critical ones, and hopefully that then forms the nucleus for the next document to be released.
Yeah,
you think we could do that?
Possibly so. I mean, I think Shell gave us a lot over the phone just now. What I'd really like is some bullet points of that actually in writing that we can work with.
Right.
Can either of you commit to that?
Well, I certainly can't. I've got this small thing called an ALAC I'm running between now and Nairobi, and there's a few things we're doing.
What I will try, this
so
is Rob.
Perhaps there's a transcript of this meeting.
Yeah.
Yes, that's,
yeah.
That was my suggestion. This
yeah.
is Rob. What I'll do is I'll
I'm not in the business of applying secretary.
Thank you. Rob, thank you. Rob could take the transcript and summarize it, and we could work it in into the next document. And then,
well, I think if we get that bit of the transcript and also let both Cheryl and you have a quick glance at it to see do you want to amend it at all or add to it. And,
What might be also useful, Dave, what might be also useful is looking at your thoughts. If we, there's a few sort of respond to type issues that we could ask each of the ACs and SOs within ICANN to respond to. This working group was supposed to be was supposed to be balanced across the component parts of ICANN for a reason. And not all of us who are on the list are on this call. I think it would be probably a good opportunity for a version of your thoughts. A couple of, three or five prime questions, send it out to every AC and SO chair and say, get back to us.
Right.
Before our Nairobi call.
Right. You see, this was what I was thinking when I said that probably we could get an interim report out before, because my idea was to use the nucleus of what, just like you say, Cheryl, that David listed some thoughts, and I believe that they're leading into the areas where we think that there's some concern. We can add the ones which only elaborates on what the ALAC posture has been. And we have a few provocative ones about small island states and so on. And we could actually send that directly to the SOs and ACs and say, let us have your response and so on. We'll get a couple. And once we incorporate those, I think we would have the basis for a publication. That was the thinking. That's why I thought we could probably certainly get the interim out before Nairobi. We wouldn't be able to get a final, at Nairobi, but...
Well, you wouldn't get responses.
We've also got other metrics. Dave, there's also some other metrics. Some of our regions, Latin America and the Caribbean, is one of the first to do it, but it's a model that I'm strongly encouraging all of the regions to do it. And that is with a comparison to see where they have nation states where you've got a CC and an at-large structure. And it's interesting when you look at those metrics to see how many countries have a CC who are or are not members of the CCNSO, and how many countries in the same geographic region who do or do not have at-large structures. And there's clear opportunity for both parts of ICANN to perhaps leverage off positions that either one or other have in various borders or within various borders. And they're the sorts of intangibles. But to be honest, that's painting the wheels. That's not building the car. It doesn't matter whether you've got 7 or 17 geographic localities, you can still do that.
Yes, you can. And that goes in very much into the participation heading that we did highlight earlier.
So they're important things to be aware of, but they're not deal breakers on a review of regions.
No, I agree. Okay, so picking up on what Carlton's saying, perhaps where I should go is trying to write out some of those questions that you think would be a good idea, carrying on from my thoughts paper. So perhaps I'll go down that direction and circulate something there for your review.
But Dave, if we could ask the AC and the SO chairs you know, for not firmly, you know, binding opinion, but reactions and responses to, say, five or seven, you know, something slightly more than yes, no, or maybe, but where it could come back from them that that's not an issue in their view, actually, that really does need more thinking about, or yes, this is a big issue from our perspective, then we can sort of do some ranking, I guess.
Yeah, and certainly whatever reaction we get back will be helpful.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. All right, I will go down that route. Rob will go down the route that we've talked about. Bart, you're going to be the only person at Nairobi, I think. Or Gisa, are you going to be there?
No, Gisela's not going to be there.
No, I will be
more
there.
More in
PC. Okay. It's a bit difficult for us. How are we going to be able to arrange a teleconference? That's basically my question, what it comes down to.
It's probably through Doodle, and we will just set up a telephone conference like we did this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gisela is your answer there, I think you'll find.
Yeah.
Because she has access to all of the
the tools,
meeting schedules for you know, certainly the GNSO and the ALAC, and I assume she can get them from the CCNSO as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She should be able to find some time that, you know, isn't in the middle of one of our dinners.
Or meeting.
Okay. Yeah. So we will look for a teleconference at Nairobi.
Yeah.
And
try to use, say, if we have documents and everything else, try to use, maybe Adobe Connect.
Yeah. Here.
Yeah.
This is Rob. Just to clarify the target time frame, it seemed as if you all were discussing earlier looking at an evening time frame. Is that correct?
Depends a bit on the time difference with Paul. That's why I asked.
It could either be early morning or evening.
Yeah.
If you set up a doodle, I'll certainly indicate what I can do. But what's the time zone for Nairobi? It's UTC plus 2 or 3, is it?
Yeah.
Yes,
plus three.
Great. So, probably before about mid afternoon would be better for me. But I'll just do what I can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't.
Mid afternoon is an early morning for Nairobi. Mid afternoon in Australia is early morning.
Well, about this time of the morning, isn't it? Which is doable, but not late.
Early.
The other alternative is that I encourage Adiel to attend the meeting instead of me, and that would be fine. He's in the time zone.
Yeah.
So don't worry too much about RIR participation. I think we're holding a bit of a watching brief here anyway.
Yeah.
No, it's not these meetings that impact that much on what we're doing. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, have we any other business before we close the meeting? Okay, there being no other business, thank you all, one and all. We will be circulating things to you before Nairobi, and I look forward to our next telephone call.
Yeah.
All right.
Take
thank
care.
You, Dave. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Dave.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Rob. Bye. Thanks. Bye-bye.